How many of you like singing? Amen. That we get a new song put in our heart when God comes in and changes us. Amen. Today we're going to look at Noah and the mercies of God. If you have your Bibles with you, would you please open them to Genesis chapter 6? We're going to make our way fairly quickly through Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9. I know y'all probably think that's hard for me, but we're going to look at a portion of each of those as we look at that. And we understand that this is the story of Noah's Ark is a foreshadowing of what was to come. Salvation for mankind, amen? Praise the Lord. And we know that Noah was saved through the flood by one way and one way only, and that was through his obedience to the Father, through what he told him to do in this story. And we know that it happened because Noah had faith in God, because we're going to see some things in this story that took faith to happen. We're going to see and hear how God told him it was going to rain. And for us today, okay, God says it's going to rain. It's raining outside. But what we have to understand is they had never seen rain falling from the sky before. So it took faith in to build an ark on dry land, a boat, and there's no rain. But God said that it was going to rain. And God told Noah to build a boat. And God built, and Noah built the boat. God told Noah to get in the boat. And Noah got in the boat. And we read that Noah did all according to what God could do. Would you stand with me this morning as we read from the scripture? We're going to be beginning in verse 11, chapter 6, verse 11. It says, "Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top, and set the door of the ark in the side of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every kind into the ark. To keep them alive with you, you shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, and of the animals after their kind, of every creeping thing of the ground after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. As for you, take for yourself some of all food which is edible, and gather it to yourself, and it shall be for food for you and for them.' Thus Noah did according to all God had commanded him." Father God, I thank you today for your word. Father, I thank you for your love. And Father, I pray now that you would open our minds and our hearts to hear from Holy Spirit. You would convict us of the truth of your word. You would cause us to move it to our hearts and to respond to you. Father, your word is holy. Your word is perfect. And we worship you today. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We oftentimes look back and we hear of God flooding, and we read in Scripture how much flood there was, and sometimes we can maybe comprehend that a little bit, sometimes we can't. So this morning, with the help of Nicole, I want to help you get just a small picture of this. Let's look at this first picture here. You might remember this sometime back. That is the Sabine River. And that little arch thing, if you know, is the stage, which is usually 6 or 7 feet above water. And here it's about 3 foot underwater. We had a small flood here, but not to the extent of what was here. We have another picture here of Waylon and I looking. You can kind of see, if you've ever been on the riverfront, those candy canes back there is where you walk. And you know the big hill that comes up, the water is all the way up to there. And then another picture someone took of I-49. Take a look at that being underwater there. A flood, but you know what did not happen? It didn't flood to the point of killing everything on the face of the earth that lived. Because God is faithful. His mercies are faithful. So today, as we look at Noah and the mercies of God, I want us to fill out your program. If you've got your bulletin inside there, I always like to give you the best I can, a few points. Maybe some of you learn from writing while you're listening. So I give you some points to fill in. Some you can take back and look at over the week. But as we read this whole story of Noah and the ark and God flooding it and drying it out, it covers those chapters in Genesis from about 6 through 9, probably the end of 6 and the beginning part of chapter 9. And what we see is we get a picture of who God is, what God's plan is for all of humanity, and a picture of the entire Bible, I believe, because we see sin and we see God providing a way and doing a cleansing. But in your bulletin there, the first thing I want us to look at is the punishment, or God's punishment for sin. You see, God is a God that is holy. God is a God that is perfect. God cannot stand sin. He's not around sin, but he does love people even through their sin. And we're going to see that here. For those who are obedient, those who faith in God, then love him. As we begin looking at this, we see here where God told Noah. In verse 13, it's God told Noah that the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. The punishment was coming, but God looked out, and you know something amazing we see here is God's omniscience. God knows all. We don't hide anything from God. God knows even what's in our hearts and in our minds. And God had looked out over all of his creation, over all of mankind, and he saw that within their hearts there was nothing but wickedness, nothing but evil. But he tells us there was one man named Noah. And Noah was righteous in God's sight. Noah walked with God, as it says in the Bible. Noah had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And they had wives. At the point that this story is going on, and Noah gets ready to get in the ark, I don't know if you can even fathom this, he was 600 years old. That's old. I don't know about you. We get to about 100 today, and we can't barely get around. Many don't even make it to 100. Or some might chuckle and say, I ain't got to get close to 100 and I can't make it around. But he was 600 years old building an ark. And let me tell you, he wasn't like Brother Bob over here. He didn't have a mill at his house that he could have those electric saws cutting stuff and playing. And he had to do all this by hand. And it's very specific in there with the size of this ark. And I want to help you understand that. How many of you in here, if I was to ask you, could explain to me what 300 cubits is, could do? I didn't think so. We don't use cubits today. But let me bring the size of the ark to your mind. 300 cubits long. That is about the equivalent of 12 city buses. Can you imagine that? Or a little bit less than 7 18-wheelers long. This is a big boat. God told him to make it 50 cubits wide, the width of it, about 2 city buses, and a little bit more than 1 18-wheeler in width. And 30 cubits high, that would be about 1 city bus or 3 mid-sized cars stood up on end to get the height. So you can understand, it's big. It needed to be big. There's a lot going in it. They were going to be in there for a while. But God told Noah that the end of all flesh was coming. The punishment for sin was coming. You see, the evil in every man's heart is sin. I believe that God knows beginning and end. God knows all of us. I believe God knows every choice and every decision that we could make and every outcome that could happen from those decisions. And God had looked at those who were on the face of the earth, and he saw that there was nothing but wickedness and that there was no choice in them to ever do right except for Noah. And because of that, God was sad. He was hurt. It tells us in the Bible that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. I believe God was grieved because he's created man. He's created and given man everything, and yet they've turned their back on him, and there was nothing but wickedness. So God decided that he was going to flood the earth with so much water that all of the land, all of the mountains, everything would be covered. And anything that had the breath of life in it, other than Noah and his family, if they chose to be obedient, was going to be destroyed and restarted. Often read this, and I even this time began reading it, and I wondered, well, how are the fish going to die? Fish live in water. I said, well, maybe the salt water mixed with the fresh water, and the salt water fish couldn't live in the fresh water. The fresh water fish couldn't live with the salt water. And I began to fret and fury over how this happened. But reading the Bible, the fish didn't die. He killed all mankind. Anything with the breath of life, every animal, bird, anything that was on there. So there is the punishment for sin. But God loves people. And he doesn't leave them where they are. The second thing we see is God's provision for salvation. There is a way, a salvation that comes to mankind. Chapter 7, verse 1, again we hear these words, "Then the Lord said," he told Noah to enter the ark, "you and your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time." God told Noah to get into the ark. He has built this ark. God has used Noah to build this ark. And now God is going to provide Noah a way to make it through this flood. Or maybe we could look at it this way. God is going to provide a way for Noah to get through the wrath of God. Sin brings wrath. We read it in Scripture all throughout it. But God has created this boat, and he told Noah to enter. Now, Noah had to be what? Faithful to enter. If he didn't enter, he wouldn't have made it. Noah had to be obedient because God said in verse 4, he said, "For after 7 more days, I will send rain," or he's going to send a cleansing to the land for 40 days, "and I will blot out from the face of the land from every living thing I've made." Why is it faith and why is it obedience of Noah? Number one, if Noah doesn't get in the boat, what happens? Noah doesn't make it. But it's faith in that what God says he will do, he will do. God said he's going to flood the earth. A few verses down in verse 12, he talks about how the rain fell upon the earth for 40 days. Chapter 7, verse 5, Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded. If you go back, and I would encourage you this week, go back and read chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9, and you're going to begin to see a bunch of repetition. God said he's going to do this. God does this. God told Noah to do this. Noah does it. It's all through the Scripture. how God is communicating with his person. But we see the obedience of Noah as he got in the ark. Let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. This is speaking of Jesus. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obeyed him the source of eternal salvation. See, even Jesus was obedient to the command of the Father, and through his obedience, the provision of salvation was offered. He died on that cross. He suffered on that cross. He had pain on that cross, but he did it for you and he did it for I. So we see that God makes provision. Even in Genesis, we begin to see in the creation we looked at where God had killed an animal to cover over their bodies for their sin, a life was given. God has established from the beginning of time that death is required for sin. And we see God fulfilling that all throughout Scripture, foretelling of the greatest gift of all, his Son Jesus Christ that he sent for us so that he could provide for us for salvation. But guess what? It takes faith. It takes obedience in God. It takes faith to believe in his Son Jesus Christ and obedience to call upon him, because maybe I could just try it another way. Often people say, I can be good enough. I can try this or I can try that. It doesn't work. Guess what? Noah could have tried a lot of other things. He could have thought, well, maybe God won't flood everything. Or maybe God won't allow me to suffer. Maybe I'll go over and I'll make this ark out of some other kind of wood. Well, guess what? It probably would have absorbed water and sunk. God is specific. There was one way. Noah was to build an ark to very specific specifications, and because of his obedience, there was salvation, and he survived the storm. But not only that, Noah, his wives, their three sons and wives, entered the ark. And then it tells us in verse 16, those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded, and the Lord closed it behind them. God made the provision of the boat. They were obedient to get in, and God comes behind them, and God seals the door. God sealed their salvation. Holy Spirit comes to us, and we are sealed through faith into salvation, through faith in Jesus Christ. And then all had perished, but Noah, his wives, and his families. And then we began to see, thirdly, that God has a plan for solidarity. God has a plan for solidarity, a plan to restore people to him. You see, after they had been in the ark for 40 days, rain subsided about a year or so. Noah had been in this ark. He went in around his 600th birthday. But get this, I found this very interesting. Look there at chapter 8 and verse 13. Chapter 8 and verse 13. It says, now it came about in the 601st year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, that the water was dried up from the earth. Then Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the surface of the ground was dried up. Does anything stand out to you? It did to me there. A new year, the first month, and the first day. A new beginning. Here Noah has been in this boat with his family and all these animals for some time, and at the very beginning of a new year was the beginning of life again. The door opens, he comes out, and all the animals come out, and they began to walk on the face of the earth. They returned to life. And as commanded, God told him, get out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives, and bring all the animals with you. So God gave another command. Noah was obedient. Verse 18 tells us, so Noah went out. Now, something happened to Noah, and his faith grew. And when he come out, he was grateful for the provision of salvation. And verse 20 tells us, then Noah built an ark, an altar to the Lord. What does that mean, church? Out of his gratitude to God, Noah worshiped God. I hope that's in your heart every day. God provided us salvation. Can we worship him? And then they came together. That solidarity is some moving in the same direction. Verse 21 says that God smelled the aroma. He received that worship. And he said, I will never again cause the ground on account of man to curse it. And I will never destroy all the things that I've done. Because Noah returned to life and didn't forget God, how often do we see that? God provides a salvation for someone. God gets someone through a difficult time and then they get back to life and everything's good. No, Noah received the provisions of salvation, and through that he had this plan of solidarity. He worshiped God and God blessed Noah. You want to be blessed? Have faith in God. Worship God. Chapter 9, verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But he doesn't leave the story right there. I forget, and y'all will probably laugh at me, I forget the man who's known for this, but can I say, and now the rest of the story. As we move on, we see that God's promise for society. God had a promise for society. At chapter 9, verse 8, then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you, with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth, of all that comes out of the ark, even the beast of the earth. God said, this is a sign, said to my covenant I'm making with you. I set my bow in the cloud, and it be a sign for you of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come about when a cloud over the earth that the bow will see it. God gave a promise to society. The promise was he would never kill all life again through a flood. But God knows that we need signs at times. And he said, I'm going to promise you this. And as a token of my promise, I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky. A beautiful colored rainbow. You see, when we receive God as our Lord and Savior, he gives us a promise. And that's the Holy Spirit that comes and dwells in us. God made this sign and he had that promise for all of mankind. What is the picture of God in this? We very quickly see that God hates sin, that there is punishment for sin. But we see that God loves his people enough that God has mercies for his people and he provides a way. God had provision for salvation. He chose his son to take our place, to take that punishment for us. And then God wanted to bring us in to relationship with him, and he gave us a promise. You see, Noah and the mercies of God are real. You remember just a while ago that I showed you the picture of the Sabine River flooding. Remember how God ended this story with a rainbow in the sky. I don't remember the exact day that Nicole took this, but even today we get to experience God's promise with a rainbow. Look at that, arched right over, just a beautiful arch right over the church. Because, see, God loves. God has mercy. And God provides for us salvation. But it takes one thing, and that's obedience. To have faith in Christ, his son, to accept him. You can try it any other way, just like Noah could have. And we would not have lived to be who we are today, because mankind would have been wiped out. But there is punishment for sin in our life. That's death and separation. And through faith in God, he provides salvation and forgiveness. He wants a relationship with us. And he provides us a promise that if we receive him, that he will be our everlasting Father. May you bow your heads. Father God, I thank you for your love. Thank you that you have provided for us a way, and that you have provided salvation. Father, I just pray today, Lord, that those that are here that know for sure that you are theirs, Lord and Savior, that they've called on you in faith in your Son out of obedience to the only way to you, that, Father, they would worship you, they would praise you right now. Father, if there's someone here today who has never taken that step in faith and made the greatest decision of their life through a calling of you, that today would be the day they say, I need to surrender my life to Christ. I need to receive Christ through faith as my provision for salvation. Father, would you give them the strength to do that today? And Lord God, I just pray everything in the precious and most holy name of your Son, Jesus.